Today on More to Life, so sorry. Are you struggling to forgive someone or get them to forgive you? Wonder what a good apology looks like? We'll explore the steps to healing. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, so sorry. We're talking about forgiveness and wondering, you know, are you struggling to forgive somebody or get them to forgive you for that matter? What does a good apology even look like? And how can we move toward reconciliation after we've forgiven someone? It's not always cut and dry. And if you're having a complicated time sorting out forgiveness and reconciliation and all that stuff in your life, whether you are the person trying to do the forgiving or the person trying to get forgiven, we are here for you. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I mean, let's be really honest here. This whole forgiveness thing for us, especially as Catholics, is complicated. Because we want to forgive. We want to do exactly what God is calling us to do. We also are very aware that, you know, it is the idea of forgive as you want to be forgiven. So this is sort of a community deal. As human beings, and especially as Catholic human beings, it's not just between us and God or us and one person. It's a whole thing. But then we also have to have that relationship with those people who may have hurt us, with ourselves, where we don't want to necessarily be more vulnerable. We want to make sure we're safe. We want to heal. We want to be the good person we're supposed to be. And we've got about a million conversations running in our heads about all of that when we are put in a position of either having to forgive someone or be forgiven ourselves. And I'll throw this one in. Or forgive ourselves for messing up, for doing something we're not proud of, for hurting somebody in some way, or for hurting ourselves in some way. So it's great to say, forgive! It's a lot more complicated than that most of the time, at least internally for us.
Well, yeah, and you know, you bring up the interesting point about the need to forgive ourselves, too. And I don't know. I think a lot of people think, well, I've forgiven myself. But anytime we continue to beat up on ourselves for having made any kind of mistake, that is a lack of forgiving ourselves. So let's talk about this. I mean, whether you are trying to forgive someone who hurt you, get forgiveness from someone you hurt, or forgive yourself and receive the forgiveness God has for you.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know personally, like, I got into a confrontation with somebody this past weekend, and my reaction to it, I totally believe, is just, was appropriate, but it still was kind of earth-shaking in some way. I very rarely lose my temper. Like, very, very rarely. And so even though I feel like it was appropriate, it was just, it was probably I'm almost sure the right thing to do, I know in terms of that internal dialogue, I'm questioning myself because I so rarely get angry. I'm like, was this appropriate? Did I express myself right? Did I try to bring enough healing? Was it over the top? Like, these conversations just run in our heads. And sometimes we don't even know, have we forgiven? Should we? have we expressed that desire to somebody in an effective way? As I said, complicated.
Well, and you know, the situation you're talking about, it involved both of us because it was a family member, and so, you know, we worked through it okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now the question is, you know, how do you repair that relationship? You know, what are the steps that we have to walk, you know, to try to restore the good feelings, the trust, the connection that was lost by what that person did.
And what if you feel like maybe you're the only person who's really investing in that? You know, it's all, oh boy, well, it's not one size fits all. So
no.
Let's help you with this kind of situation. If it's happening in your life, your heart, your mind today, give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Maybe that person continues to do the hurtful thing even after they've apologized or you've forgiven them. Maybe you've tried to forgive somebody only to find that you're still struggling with the resentment, the hurt, the lack of trust. Maybe somebody's accusing you of being unforgiving. Or for that matter, you're having a hard time getting someone to forgive you or forgiving yourself. Give us a call. Let us help you discover the healing that God has in store for you and your relationships. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might wonder, well, you know, what could this theology have to teach me about, you know, forgiveness, reconciliation, all that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked kind of a big question. He essentially said, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that the kingdom of God is meant to be, in quotes here, a community of love. Okay. In that sense, building the kingdom involves cooperating with God's grace to heal the damage that sin inflicts on our relationships. And forgiveness is absolutely foundational to do that.
But what is forgiveness? I mean, how do we define it? Well, St. John Paul defined forgiveness as, quote, a personal choice, a decision of the heart to go against the natural instinct to pay back evil with evil, end quote. Even more, he emphasized devotion to divine mercy and the writings of St. Faustina to give us all a comprehensive understanding of what true forgiveness and reconciliation look like.
And that's how we see that it's possible to forgive someone but not be reconciled to them. Reconciliation presumes the offender's willingness to heal the damage that their actions caused. St. Augustine described reconciliation as the tranquility that results from right order.
Well, exactly. And the first step to restoring order after an offense is often, usually, a good apology. And research shows that a good apology involves three elements: ownership, empathy, and repair. So let's just take a look at those things. Ownership refers to me saying, you know, I was wrong. You know, you deserved better. You had a right to be hurt by what I did. Not, you know, your skin is too thin, or you don't have a sense of humor, or I'm sorry, but, or whatever. I genuinely was wrong, and you deserved better from me. Secondly, empathy. I understand how much I hurt you, and I feel the pain I caused. Right? It's not just, yeah, sorry. You guys should have got over it now. Sorry. You know, it's really, I get it. I see how much I hurt you. I feel that pain too. And I'm ashamed of myself for what I did. And I'm sorry that I hurt you. You know, you get it, right? And then the third piece is repair. I'm going to do what's needed to make amends. And I'm going to do my best to heal the damage I've caused and not do this again. So there's an acknowledgement that I'm committed to the process of healing the relationship.
And when one of those parts of an apology is missing from that equation, well, then it's hard to restore the relationship entirely. In fact, it's like living in a construction zone, trying to pretend that everything is perfectly normal, but kind of hoping none of it falls on your head.
Well, exactly. And just like a real construction zone, sometimes we need to post warning signs. That is, we need to set boundaries on our relationship with the offender who isn't really sorry, because that reminds everyone involved that it's still not safe to go past a particular point because the relationship is still under construction. Think about it that way, right? You know, you wouldn't say to the person who is posting that warning sign, "Oh, don't put that there. That's
rude. That shuts rude. People out.
Yeah, it doesn't let people walk off the edge of the platform."
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's what boundaries do in relationships, especially with somebody who is not sorry. It's not being unforgiving. It's saying, you know, you can be around this person up to this point, but beyond this point, there be dragons, essentially.
Or at least some kind of, this isn't going to be healthy for anybody. But I think it's important to talk about, you know, in a construction zone, there are those warning signs and boundaries to tell people how to be around. You have to wear a hard hat. You shouldn't go in this section. There's live electricity over here. Whatever those things are. What the sign is not, if both people are willing to cooperate in rebuilding, doing the construction on that relationship, what the sign is not is demolition zone, area condemned. You know, it's not that final thing.
Well, you know, it is funny, though.
If we're willing to be in a healthy reconciliation process.
But, you know, I was just thinking about this metaphor as you were talking, and it occurs to me that there, you know, sometimes, you know, the government tries to fix a pothole by posting a sign that says pothole, right? You know, or
and then we still all drive through it and rub
well,
our tires.
We do that with our relationships, too. You know, instead of actually working to
doing
reconcile
the
with the person, we say, okay, I forgive you. And then we sort of post a sign there that, yeah, it's you know, under construction. But then we just ignore it and pretend to, like, you know, living in a normal house that's not falling down around us. Yeah, so let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness today on More to Life. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Are you struggling to get someone to forgive you? Struggling to forgive yourself? What does a good apology look like? How can we reconcile after an offense? Let's talk it all out today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people and situations where we are either struggling to forgive or struggling to get forgiveness, or even to forgive ourselves. Help us to know what true forgiveness looks like, what it requires of us, and what it doesn't. And help us to understand the steps of healthy reconciliation so that we can avoid the temptation to just gloss over wounds and offenses, but really work with your grace to clean out those wounds and facilitate real healing. Help us to have forgiving and compassionate hearts, but also have the courage to stand up for what needs to be done to truly repair the relationships so that in all things we can build your kingdom by working with you to heal the damage that sin does to all of our relationships. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name
of the
Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, so sorry. We're talking about forgiveness, and if you're struggling to forgive someone, to get them to forgive you, or even forgive yourself, or receive God's forgiveness, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking right now with Sandra, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Sirius XM 130.
Sandra, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What can we do for you today?
Okay, well, I was called in because I've been divorced for someone for 20 years, and I guess a month ago I was with him. Visiting Colorado, and he said, you know, we could still be a family, we could still be together. It really kind of triggered a lot of negative things that I remember, you know, all the bruises and stuff, not literally.
So when you're saying, you know, that this was rough, you're talking there was physical abuse in this relationship, and now, all these years later, he's like, oh, we can be great together. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
No physical abuse, just verbally things.
So emotional bruises.
Emotional bruises, gotcha.
Emotional. And then about 3 years ago, my daughter disowned me because I make her miserable. And so when he said all that, I know I'm going back and forth. When he said all that, that really triggered me, and I have like a 2-day trip home. I like cried the whole time because all those negative emotional hurts came up. And then I realized, because my daughter disowned me, maybe that's what she's feeling, and when she sees me, she's got, you know, scars.
You see that? Maybe that's what she's feeling. What is it? When you're saying that maybe she's feeling the same kind of pain that you feel with what your ex-husband did to you, you mean?
Right. You know, God works in mysterious ways, so.
Okay. So how can we help you today? Because we've got two different situations here. You know, the reaction to your ex saying he'd wanted to reconcile, and your reflections on your daughter's actions toward you. So how can we best be helpful today?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, my daughter, I don't think she's ever going to, it's kind of a one-way thing. I've reached out to her a couple of times. I've sent like a birthday present to her 1 year, and about a month or two later, it got sent back and opened. So I just have been praying, you know, and waiting for the time that it's going to go over. I don't know if I should, you know,
So you're wanting to work on your relationship with your daughter, if I'm understanding you correctly. So how I understand that she's cut you off. Do you know, like, what did she say to you as a justification for not having you in her life anymore? What was her reason?
That I made her miserable, and that I wasn't a good mother. And I'm the baby of my family, so I thought, okay, you know, maybe I wasn't the best mother, but... I mean, I think it's what she has told some people that I'm hearing through the grapevine is abandonment.
I'm going to jump in because we're going to have to go to break here. And I want to make sure I'm giving you something before we head out. So a couple of things. First of all, you know, clearly from the wounds that you carry from the divorce still, from the wounds that you have with your daughter, I'd really encourage you to be seeking some good professional pastoral counseling to heal some of those wounds, because you talk about, you know, your daughter feeling abandoned by you. It's hard to be present to other people when you're hurting as much as you still are from a lot of these things, and it's hard to know how to interact with your ex who's, you know, talking about reconciling, but, you know, that brings up so many old hurts, and I want to encourage you to really work on healing those hurts, both for your own benefit and as a sign to your daughter that you're taking her concerns seriously. You know, because if she's saying you weren't able to be there for her the way she wanted you to be, one of the ways that you can show her that it's safe to be around you, that she can let you back into her life, is by taking those concerns seriously and doing the work that needs to heal your heart that would allow you to be present to her. In terms of the relationship with your daughter, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, because it talks about this kind of estrangement, which is very, very common now, and how to begin to rebuild the relationship even with somebody who is drawing as firm a line as your daughter is with you. It all starts, though, with letting her know that you've heard her. You know, sending an email, a text, a letter, even if you don't know that she'll read it, being able to say, you know, I've really been thinking a lot about what you said to me, and I want you to know that I've heard you, and that if there's anything else you ever want to tell me, I'm willing to hear it. And, for instance, I've started going to counseling to really learn more about what I need to heal so that perhaps one day I could be the mom that you need me to be even now. And I just wanted to check in and let you know that I'm here whenever you feel safe or comfortable reaching back out to me, but that I've heard what you've said and I'm taking it seriously. So sending her that kind of a message, again, she might not respond to it right away, but if you do that and then you follow up by doing the work to heal those wounds, that really sends a very strong message. And you can continue to check in periodically, every couple of months, you know, hey, this is what I've been working on in counseling, and I thought I'd share this insight with you. And it allows you to really show that you're doing the work that's necessary for her to be able to be vulnerable with you again. it will take time, and it's not going to be automatic at all. But I think that's your best way forward. Don't just say, I it's just one-sided. All kids want a relationship with their parent, and if we can give them any sign that there is that there's a potential for that healing, most kids will take it, no matter how old they are. Sandra, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. While you're at that site, you can also check out Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters to guide you through those next steps. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls on forgiveness and reconciliation. Plus, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup, the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show's titled So Sorry, as we talk about forgiveness, both giving and getting it. 877-573-7825. Call up and share your struggles with forgiveness. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body, and she joins us today. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Greg. Great to be with you guys.
And you were sharing with us some research that shows how forgiveness affects the brain health and our physical health, and you wanted to kind of reflect on how that reveals God's plan for relationships.
Sure, yeah. I just think it's so fascinating because, you know, in the theology of the body, John Paul II said that the body reveals the person, you know, the visible reveals the invisible. And I think the whole topic of forgiveness in the body goes right along with that. And as you were mentioning, you know, multiple studies show that forgiveness actually affects, you know, when you do forgive, then it leads to lower stress, improved immune system responses, better heart health, which I think is fascinating, right? Because if we get our heart straight interiorly, you know, that actually affects our physical heart, you know, which is amazing. And so I think, of course, our main point of wanting forgiveness, right, is because we want reconciliation or at least to forgive and to follow Jesus and the gospel, right? To forgive is we want to be forgiven. But the great thing is, like, you're like, wow, God made us so that, you know, when we do forgive, it actually improves our health as well. And, you know, I was reflecting, I'm like, wow, if you love someone and if you apologize to them for something, even if it's hard, even pride gets in the way, then you're actually helping them to forgive. You're helping their health too, because by apologizing, that really opens a door for forgiveness on their part. You know what I'm saying? So I thought
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's, you know, among people who, you know, are theology of the body educators, there's sort of the saying that, that biology is theology. You know, the idea that, that the way God designed our bodies reveals a lot about his plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships. And, you know, the studies you were just referencing really do show that we were made for reconciliation, we were made for healing, and that we were made to rebuild the, or to build the kingdom of God by pursuing that healing, which then creates physical healing in our bodies as well as the spiritual healing that we, that we're seeking by asking for forgiveness or giving that forgiveness to others.
Right, and then if we don't forgive, what's fascinating too, but that is, you know, I think, oh wow, this person has hurt me, and in a certain sense, I'm letting them, you know, hurt me further. I mean, again, not really, but like I'm letting that action control my life, affect my physical health too, and my emotional, spiritual health. And so that's just another thing, like healing, that forgiveness is so important to just full healing and for us to be who God created us to be.
Great reflections, Anastasia. Oh, I'm sorry, you cut out there for a second. So I just wanted to jump in, though, and thank you for your segment. And remind people that they can learn more about your good work by going to nationalcatholicsingles.com. They can learn more about the annual National Catholic Singles Conference, plus the events that you have throughout the year to support Catholic Singles. Again, that's nationalcatholicsingles.com. And listeners, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Our show today titled So Sorry. We talk about the struggle that we have with either forgiving others, getting forgiveness from others, or even forgiving ourselves. Give us a call. We'll be back in a minute.
Who belongs to the Catholic Church? According to the Catholic Catechism, all men and women are called to the Catholic unity of the people of God. In different ways, they belong or are ordered to belong. The Catholic faithful, other believers in Christ, and all mankind are called by God's grace to salvation. Those who in faith accept all the precepts, sacraments, and all the means of salvation given to the Church and possess the Spirit of Christ are fully incorporated into the society of the Church. One, however, who does not persevere in charity is not saved. He or she remains in the bosom of the Church, in its body, but not in its heart. The Church is joined in many ways to other faiths that call themselves Christian, even though they do not profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successors of Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When kids misbehave, it's common for parents to ask how they can stop the bad behavior. Usually the answer is some form of punishment. But punishment isn't a silver bullet. Sure, it might stop misbehavior for now, but it's not very effective in the long term. That's because it doesn't help kids heal the harm they've caused, and it doesn't give them the tools they need to handle things differently the next time. St. John Bosco had a better approach to discipline. He viewed discipline as a teaching opportunity, not a control problem. In his approach, parents coach kids through the process of healing the harm their behavior caused. And next, they help kids learn the skills and strategies they need to do better next time. St. Bosco's approach is called discipleship discipline because it treats kids as disciples or learners. It also reminds us of the loving way Jesus taught his own disciples. Discipleship discipline frees parents from being referees, constantly imposing penalties. Instead, Parents coach kids through the hard work of improving their game. Discipleship Discipline recognizes that parents and kids are really on the same team. To learn more about Discipleship Discipline, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, So Sorry, as we talk about the struggles we all have with forgiveness, whether we're talking about forgiving someone who hurt us, getting forgiveness from someone we hurt, or even forgiving ourselves or receiving God's forgiveness. Let's talk about how forgiveness is complicated in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Call with your questions about forgiveness.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another wonderful EWTN radio partner. Ablaze Radio, serving Duluth, Georgia, is celebrating 10 years with us.
Woohoo! Congratulations to Ken and Patricia Shivers and everyone at WNRE from your friends here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you. And thanks again to Ken and Patricia down at WNRE and everyone who makes EWTN Radio possible, especially you, the listener. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness, the challenge that we often face forgiving others, the difficulties we have getting others to forgive us, sometimes the struggle we have to forgive ourselves. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Linda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Hi, Linda. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, Dr. Popchak, and hello, Lisa. Thank you for taking my call. I'm struggling with something, and it's sad to say it's been like 40-plus years. I have my husband, who I've been married to for 43 years, so therefore I've known him for 45, and my dear friend, also 45 years, but they're so similar. I'm somehow just seeing this, that they both love to talk. They talk so much that I can't ever feel like I'm part of the conversation. I am just the listener, and I might want to say something. And sometimes I get mad, especially with my husband, because you live with your husband. But I'm going on a long weekend with my friend, and I want to be kind and try to explain to her how do I handle trying to get her to maybe let me join in on the conversation.
Take a turn.
So let me ask you, when you and your husband, or when you and your friend are just alone, do they monologue the entire time, or are they actually interested in what you have to say in those one-on-one situations?
A little bit of both. I feel like, well, with my husband, I feel like I have to get a little sharp-tongued and be direct and fast, and I often feel like I have to talk so fast that my words get mumbled, so it comes out wrong.
And so have you ever addressed it with him directly? You say you get sharp with him sometimes.
I've asked him to listen to me. I said, let me talk, give me a chance. I mean, he'll ask
and what does
10
he
questions,
say?
And I'm still working on the first one.
Yeah.
He gets frustrated. He doesn't like it. So therefore, we're both back and forth.
When you say he gets frustrated, though, is he frustrated because he thinks that he is interested in what you're saying and trying to hear what you're saying? Or what does he actually say in response whenever you challenge him on this?
Well, he just says, I am listening, but he's talking... He's talking over what I'm saying. So how am I going to listen to him and talk at the same time? I don't know.
Goodness.
And
you've got very different...
frustrating.
Yeah.
Right, so frustrating. You've got very different styles. Obviously, when you answered Greg's question, I got the sense that possibly you try to ask him to slow down, to give you a turn, only when he's irritated you about it. Have you ever taken, like, say, a quiet Saturday afternoon, you're both at home, and said, I really want to talk about how we can have a conversation more easily since we have such different styles. Have you ever done that at a calm time?
I have, and sometimes it erupts, and sometimes, but it's been a long time, and sometimes I just don't know where it's going to go, how.
Right. Oh.
Well, so look, I think what I'm picking up here, okay, so both your husband and your friend kind of have this style. People have different, based on a lot of how we've been raised, have a lot of different ideas about what the rules are of good conversation. And some people have more of the, you know, the rule is I have to wait for the other person to stop before I'm allowed to say anything. And then there are other people who are kind of raised in a, well, we just talk, you know. And in fact, Lisa and I are a little bit more along that way, and sometimes we'll get emails from people saying, you guys keep interrupting each other. That's really rude.
Yeah, but we're just reading each other's thoughts. And I have to say, with our best friends, we joke about this all the time, because when our two families are together, so we're talking about, you know, our kids, their kids, this couple, us, we have a tendency to just talk over each other and add to the conversation and add to the conversation and then come all the way back in a circle and get to the story we started with. And we joke it's just because we were all of Irish descent and that's just what you do. And it, for us, when we're like that, it's very comfortable. It makes us feel closer together. Whereas if we're with other couples, other people, we'll slow down and do more of that back and forth kind of like tennis playing.
So I'm not saying it's okay that your husband talks over you or your best friend talks over you, but I'm saying it's not necessarily intended to be offensive.
Exactly.
And so I think a two-pronged approach here can be helpful. The one is not like whenever you've described how you've confronted your husband about it, it tends to be a little bit more pointed, more like a, hey, you did something wrong, and why won't you let me speak? You know, assuming that he's not interested in what you have to say and assuming that he just wants to shut you down. I think a better approach would be what Lisa suggested in the first place, you know, just kind of talking about it at another time, but not in an accusatory way. Being able to say, you know, I is it okay if I just kind of jump in? Like, I'm really struggling to figure out how to contribute more to conversations with you. Like, how would you like me to talk with you? Do you want me to wait till you're done talking, or can I just pipe up, you know? And then in the moment, you know, instead of waiting until you're frustrated and angry and irritated, you know, just you know, you put up your hand, not like in a class or something, but just like, you know, in a sort of a hold on a second gesture, and say, hey, I just wanted to say something. We could go ahead and finish your thought or your sentence, but I really want to jump in with something, or just jump in. You know, that's okay too. You know, and see how that goes. But I think that if you do that, you'll see whether anybody's interested in hearing what you have to say or not. You know, because they'll either stop and hear you, or they'll just keep rolling on. But either way, you want to, in that moment, not accuse the person of intentionally trying to shut you out, but rather give some indication that you want to contribute, either by even starting to talk. You know, hey, I just wanted to throw this in.
And you know, realize you don't have to speed up. You don't have to get louder. You just have to interrupt so they give you enough of a pause so that you can present your thoughts, your part of the conversation, in your own style. So you're not trying to be them, you're not denying who you are and your way of speaking and communicating and thinking deeply about things. That is all good, that is all part of how God made you. But in order to live with these two people who you love very much, giving yourself permission to sort of take that pause in the midst of their words and interrupt a bit without being rude, but just saying, or, oh, I have some thoughts about that. Or, oh, can I ask you a question about that? Or, have you ever thought of this? Just transitional statements that allow them to then take a breath and key into the fact that you're part of the conversation and respectfully listen to you more.
So I think, based on the reaction that you're getting from your friend and your husband, I think that the problem is that you're assuming a negative intention. And they don't see it that way. It's just their conversational style.
And I might even, when you're away with your friend, not in any negative way, but just say to her at some point, you know, I love you guys so much, and I am so fascinated by how quickly you can just bounce off of each other's thoughts. I have a bit of a different style, and I was wondering if there was a way that I could comfortably sort of become more of the part of the conversation with you, because my style isn't necessarily to be quite so up front.
And if we're right, my guess is going to be that they're going to say, well, just say something.
And
that's going to be like, well, but I'm not allowed to do that because I have to wait for the other person to stop talking. Again, the rules are different for different people. And so if this isn't just that they're trying to shut you down, but they just, this is their conversational style, then it's probably a good idea to learn to be a little bit more assertive with putting that out there and not assuming that they're trying to keep you out of the conversation. All right, thank you so much for the call, and if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians 4:32.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you.
And, you know, again, when we hear this verse, we hear forgive, right? Which is true. We need to forgive, right? But we miss the part, as God in Christ forgave you. St. Paul isn't saying just blanketly let everything go. He's saying follow the model that Christ uses in forgiveness. So God forgives us all of our sins. His mercy is super abundant, right?
Never ending.
And yet, he still holds us responsible for our actions and asks us to cooperate with his grace to heal the damage that our sins have caused. And even in some cases, he allows us to alienate ourselves entirely from him. Not because he wants that to happen,
but because he gave us free will, so we have that choice. Unfortunately, sometimes we make the wrong one.
And in the same way, we can forgive everybody who's hurt us, but we might not be able to have them in our life because they choose to act in ways that doesn't make it safe to be around them. And that's okay. We can do that. That is actually following the model that Christ has put forth for forgiveness and reconciliation. So just a different spin on this very well-known verse. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled So Sorry, as we talk about the struggle to forgive others or get forgiveness from others. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa.
and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled So Sorry, as we talk about the struggle to forgive others or seek forgiveness from them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Anne. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I had a disagreement with my husband this weekend. We were at my son's sporting event, and he becomes very boisterous. He yells. He uses profanity, and it's very embarrassing. So I asked him not to use the F word, and I thought I said it quietly, and he said loudly, "If I don't like it, I can go sit somewhere else." So after the game, I thought we had talked a little bit about it, but the next day he just was, I guess he stewed about it, and he was really angry, and he said how I embarrassed him in front of people, and I think he's looking for me to apologize, because I said, well, you embarrassed me by the way you behaved, and this has been a pattern on and off throughout the years, and he just was very loud yelling at me that I'm embarrassing and, you know, I shouldn't speak to him in public like that, that I should talk to him on the side. And so I've been struggling with, I think he's looking for me to apologize for embarrassing him, but I'm really struggling because I'm hurt. I'm embarrassed by the way he spoke to me in front of people. I'm embarrassed by the way he carries on and represents our family. And I guess I just don't know how to approach this, because now we're on Wednesday and this happened Saturday night, and I know I shouldn't
Is he still pouting about it?
I'm having a hard time. He's kind of okay with it, because once he blew up about it,
he's moved on now.
Just kind of carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay,
and I'm having a hard time.
So let me ask you, just so I understand the context here, in other situations where he does something offensive and you have to kind of say to him, hey, you really hurt my feelings, or hey, I need to look at this, does he listen to you then and kind of take that to heart, or is he not able to hear any of that anytime you bring it up?
Many times he says, I'm flipping the argument and it's all about me now. And, you know, if we have this disagreement like this, like, oh, yeah, it's all about you and your feelings, and I'm trying to find a place where we can both bring our issues, and...
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that he intends to do this, but that's a typical technique that verbally abusive people will use to not take responsibility for their behavior. If he were saying to me, you know, generally speaking, whenever I have to give him feedback, you know, he hears that, he's able to work through that with me, we can kind of get, but this is just a bad moment, you know, then I might ask you more questions about how you approached him and kind of what the dynamic was between the two of you. But what you're really saying to me is that this is a guy who doesn't like to admit that he's wrong. And when you try to point things out to him, he deflects. And so that's a bigger problem than even just this last outburst at the sporting event. I think you can use this situation from last Saturday to kind of establish a beachhead with addressing this, but you need to address it head on. And so, no, I don't think this is something you need to apologize for. I think this is something you need to kind of double down on and say, listen, I love you, but I cannot sit with you at these games if you're going to behave that way.
Well, neither can our child.
And so we're going to, you know, unless we can have a real conversation about this where you can acknowledge what you did, how hurtful and embarrassing your behavior is, and work with me to figure this out, I'm not going to, we can't sit with you anymore, because this is unconscionable. And I didn't embarrass you, you embarrassed yourself. You didn't like being called out on it, but you embarrassed yourself. Now then he'll say, well, there you go, making it all about you and making it blah, blah, blah. At which point you just say, I'm sorry you're having a hard time hearing this, but I'm telling you that you hurt me, your behavior is unacceptable, and if you love me, you're going to hear that and want to change that. And if you don't, then I can't sit with you at games anymore because this is unacceptable. Because you know it is unacceptable. And you know, all right, somebody gets carried away and they have a bad moment, fine. But then own that.
When it goes on and on and on, yeah, you
own that.
If you're you know, a gentleman or a lady, you go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. We were at a Steeler game a few weeks ago, and this guy behind us, we were there with young children. This guy behind us was just over the top. The language was horrible. And for 1 second, he said, I'm sorry, when he saw the kids, like, staring at him. And then he went right on doing it. I would suggest, though, Anne, that you have this conversation way before there's another game. Do not do this in the heat of the moment where you're thinking, oh, great, well, next time he won't. I'll just correct him at the game.
You
want
to have
the
conversation today, right? You know, not like as you're heading to the game.
Yeah.
You can say, look, I see that you're calmer now. You seem like you're in a better place, but this is still a problem, and we still need to figure this out before next Saturday because I can't go to another game with you if you're going to act like this. Yeah,
we need a plan for how you're going to handle it when you don't like the call, when you're unhappy with the score, because there are people around you that do not want to hear that kind of language, and our child and I are two of them. So what's the plan here?
Now, the other thing, and this is just one of many, many, many situations that you alluded to in the relationship where he's not willing to be called out for things that he's done. And I think that you're probably going to need to seek some professional help to really heal this, because when somebody's struggling to own their mistakes, you know, a lot of times that means they were raised in a household where it wasn't safe to make mistakes, right? You know, they mess up as a kid, and then the parent just unloads on them and makes them feel ashamed and makes them, you know, doesn't teach them how to handle it better, doesn't make it feel safe. And I suspect that's where your husband's coming from. But that's not your problem. That's his wound to heal, and you can't let that stop you from saying what needs to be said. Because, I mean, as husband and wife, we're called to work for each other's good. We're called to help each other become everything God created us to be in this life and get each other to heaven in the next. And when we act like your husband was acting at the game, that's really not being the man that God's calling him to be. And so it's your job to say, hey, honey, I love you, but that's not okay. And if he doesn't like that, tough. I mean, he needs to hear it, right? So, no, I don't think you need to apologize for anything based on what you shared, but I do think you need to double down on it. And you need to have a plan before you go to the next game and let him know that if he's going to intend to continue behaving that way, you just can't sit with him. But then use that as a springboard to address all the, you know, the pattern that you have in the relationship where when you bring up something that's hurt you or concerns you, that he tends to flip the script on you. And if you're looking for strategies for managing that more effectively, I would encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. There's also a book that I think will really be helpful. It's by Patricia Evans called The Verbally Abusive Relationship. And when I hear that, or when I say that, you might cringe a little bit and say, well, that's not my relationship. Even if your whole relationship isn't characterized by verbal abuse, this pattern is verbally abusive. And she talks about strategies you can use when somebody engages in a specific incident of verbal abuse and how to diffuse it. So again, that's The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans. But I would really encourage you to start with the suggestions we've made here. If you need more personalized attention and support getting through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Well, we're in the final moments of the program here, and so just as we're wrapping up, you know, I wanted to summarize that forgiveness is absolutely essential to the Christian walk. That building the kingdom of God primarily means healing the damage that sin has done to all of our relationships, and forgiveness is a big part of that. But it is possible to forgive somebody without being reconciled to them. You know, because forgiveness is all just about what St. John Paul said at the beginning, refusing to pay evil for evil. I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me. You know, I want the best for you.
He says it's our natural instinct, but with God's grace, we can forgive that person. But that doesn't mean we just have to move on with the relationship.
No, and when the other person has not given us those parts of a good apology by owning their mistakes, by empathizing with the pain they cause, by saying that they're committed to fixing it, it's a little bit like trying to heal a wound that's not been properly cleaned. Because as long as there's dirt in that wound, it might scab over, but it's always going to be there. And in fact, it could get infected. And God doesn't want that for our relationships. We need to clean the wound by really addressing the hurt and making sure that everything that needs to be done to reconcile is being done. So if you'd like more support in making that happen in any part of your life or relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.